Here we are in Exodus chapter number 24, 25. The Lord instructed Moses to come up to Mount Sinai. Here he gave Moses, among other things, what we call the Ten Commandments. He was up there for 40 days. He also gave him the pattern. We read in verse number 40, "And look that thou make them all the things the Lord showed him after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." You know, if I was Moses, I'd probably be taking copious notes, wouldn't you? I'd be writing down, and I'd probably have a legal pad or something, writing down some copious notes there, and just want to get everything just exactly right. Look at verse number 8, chapter 25, verse number 8. "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." And so God said, "I'm going to come down and I'm going to dwell with you while you're here in the wilderness. And I want you to make me a sanctuary." We call it the tabernacle. And he said, "I want you to make it so long and I want you to make it so wide." And I can imagine Moses is just writing it down and getting every little detail, okay, and how tall and what color and what, you know, shape of the different hangings and how many people, you know, should I have maybe delegated to this, and what are the materials made out of, badger skins and ram skins and gold and silver and all the different things. And you read about it in the Bible, different kinds of wood. Look at verse number 9, chapter 25, verse number 9. "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." Every piece of furniture that Moses made was a pattern of what's already in heaven. So the originals are in heaven. God gave the pattern to Moses. He said, "I want you to copy it." You know, you ladies that make dresses, I mean, people probably don't make so much anymore, but it would be a good thing, I suppose, to, you know, go back. You get things like you like them. You get the color you like. It fits right, right? You ever wonder, where do they make these things, right? You get I get a shirt, and it's like, are you serious? Like, who has arms that short, right? And it's like, what happened? And you know, things don't always fit right in the American body, right? I think it's ideal. But, you know, things don't always fit exactly right. Like, what are these people thinking wherever they made these, whatever sweatshop, right? But there was an original in heaven, and God said, "Moses, I want you to pattern the furniture after what I show you in heaven. I want you to pattern the tabernacle after what I show you in heaven." Look at verse number 10. "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof." So a cubit is approximately 18 inches. It's about the measurement from the tip of your finger to the end of your elbow. I've never measured mine, but some people are taller, have longer arms. Some people are shorter. Can you imagine? You know, you buy with one, bring one guy with you when you buy stuff. You bring another guy when you sell stuff, right? Different measure, you know, adjust weight and adjust measure. So they had to standardize, but about 18 inches. So here's the detail of the ark, the exact measurements, the specific materials, every minute detail. You know, God is a God of detail, isn't he? God is a God of order. I mean, you just walk outside and just look around and you see that things are organized and they're orderly. We live in an orderly, organized universe. And some scientists from the 15, 1600s, you know, Galileo and all those Christians, they said, whoever created the universe, that God is a mathematician. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, I was listening, they were talking about this, the eclipse, right? Remember the eclipse? And they had it figured out right down to the minute when it's going to start. They have it figured out where it's going to go over which, you know, certain parts of the country and when it's going to end, right? And so we figured out the patterns that God has. You can figure out the weather patterns. You can figure out the jet streams even. And so everything is specific with God. God is a God of order. Look at verse number 23. It talks about the table of showbread. Verse number 23. "Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit in the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof." So here's the table of showbread, verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. It continues, verse 26, the curtains. And thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings in the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. So we see God is very specific. He talks about the material. He talks about how many there are, the exact length, the exact breadth, the colors. Look at the veil, chapter 26 and verse number 33. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the taches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. So he tells them where it is as well, the placement and the arrangement of the furniture, chapter 26 and verse number 34. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. Chapter 27, verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. The length and the breadth and the height, look at verse number 18 of chapter 27. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twine linen, and their sockets of brass. So we find length, breadth, height. In chapter 28, we'll not read it, but we find out that God gave the specific directions for Aaron's garments and his son's garments. If you read chapter 28, it is incredibly detailed. In chapter number 30, the details are given for the altar of incense. God called Moses to use what he had in heaven to make the tabernacle that he planned to make on earth. Now look at Hebrews chapter number 8. We have a New Testament reference to exactly what happened here in the book of Exodus. In Hebrews chapter number 8, and it tells us in verse number 1, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So we see here very detailed, God called Moses onto Mount Sinai. He was there for 40 days, and God showed him heaven. He peeled back the scroll of heaven. He says, look, this is the tabernacle in heaven. This is the altar. This is the ark. This is the candlestick. This is the table of showbread. This is the holy place. This is the mercy seat. These are the materials. I want you to make a pattern down on earth. I want you to copy what you see. It has to be this long. It has to be this tall. It has to be this wide. Everything exactly as God showed Moses in heaven. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 that God admonished him. So let's see, what verse is that in? I'm sorry, it's chapter number 8. You see it? Verse 5? Okay. Moses was admonished of God. Now, I was reading this just a couple of weeks ago, and actually outlined this when I was on vacation, so I was really relaxed, right? But I was reading this, and I thought, no, the word admonished, that's a good Bible word. God was telling Moses, don't make anything the way you want to make it. Make it according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Make it by what you see in heaven. Make it by what God showed you. Can you imagine? No, I mean, we could probably think that, I mean, really, the tabernacle was kind of small. You know, you ever get an architect involved in something? Architects are fantastic people. We had an architect come in here to lay out these pews, okay? We had to turn in the architectural drawing to the city. And they had to approve it as well as a lot of other things before we could get our occupancy permit. And, you know, you get an architect involved, and they're coming here to space out the pews. And by the time they're done, they want to build you a new building and, you know, charge you a couple $1 million, right? I met an engineer the other day, and I said, can you tie your shoes? And he said, what? I said, engineers, you know, they're great. They have all these ideas, and they can't tie their shoes, right? We had a good conversation, but, you know, you deal with an architect, and it's like, okay, make the tabernacle this big. And he's like, well, why? We could get, you know, twice as big. We could get a big footprint here. We could put my name on it, right? I was the architect who signed the plans. Look how wonderful I am. Everybody's going to know me. Where do I put my signature, right? It would be easy to do that. Hey, I think I know better than God knows. I think I can do it a little bit. Well, you know, I don't think we should have, you know, this over here. And I think it should be maybe a little bit taller or maybe a little bit shorter. Maybe the width shouldn't be exactly. And God, I think we should change this. Can I just have a little latitude here and fix this? Now, the word admonished is a strong word. It means to warn of a fault. To warn or notify of a fault. It means this, to reprove with mildness. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It's a very strong word. It's not just a suggestion. It is, look, this needs to be fixed. And you need to fix it. And don't tell me that you can't do it this way, okay? Admonish. It's not a suggestion. It's got to be this way. This is important. I'm asking you to do this, and I want you to do it this way. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here we find the word again. So here is a brother that obeys not the word. And here the Bible's talking about if you don't work, you don't eat, right? So it's in the context a little earlier. But look at verse 15, 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So it's a strong word. It's not, I'm an enemy of you. It's not, I'm going to poke your eyes out with an ice pick, right? But it is, look, you're a brother, and this needs to be done this way because that's what God said. So God used the word admonished. Moses, I'm giving you instructions on the tabernacle. Don't change it. I'm giving you directions on how to make the ark. Don't embellish it. Don't make it bigger. Don't make it smaller. Look, it's made out of gold. Don't make it out of platinum. Oh, it's more expensive. Gotcha. No, make it out of gold, okay? It would be real easy to tweak the recipe, right? To change it, to try to improve on it. So the word admonished is to counsel against wrong practices, to caution, and to advise. I read an old book a couple months ago, and the author asked a pertinent question. I can't remember the book it was, but I took to heart the question that was asked concerning any matter and deciding what to do. I mean, you just fill in the blank, anything. Does God speak on the matter? If so, what does he say? Does God speak on the matter? Just whatever the question is, whatever the situation is, does God speak on the matter? If so, what does he say? Those would be some good guidelines for life in general. Does God speak on that? Just pick the subject. You know, go through A through Z. Does God speak on this subject? If so, what does he say? I mean, we could pick the weather. Does God speak? There's a lot of Bible verses about the weather, right? We can't change the weather, but God speaks about it. A couple weeks ago, I preached on birds, right? I was thinking of another sermon coming up. You'll hear it soon. Trees. God speak about trees? It's all over the Bible, okay? Does God speak about my language? He does. He speaks a lot about every area of life. You know, some things God doesn't speak about. But in general, God speaks about everything that we have to deal with. He wants us to follow the pattern. Think about how many things we prepare to do or make. We plan, we start to implement our ideas, and we gather our materials. Wouldn't it be great to have this? To check with God first. See, saith thee, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. We need to be careful where we get our pattern. If you have the wrong pattern, you're going to make the wrong thing. You ever see those patterns? Like my mom used to make things. My wife makes things, right, sometimes with patterns. You know, in those little McCall's, right, they sell those patterns. Yeah, you make things with patterns, right? You have those. There's like four things in one, right? You can make a, I don't know, an apron, right? You can make a hat. I don't know, right? There's like four things in one. Can you imagine? So I'm going, okay, I'm going to make an apron. And I get the hat pattern. And then I make it. I'm like, well, that doesn't look like it works for an apron. There's no string on it. There's no tie in it. But what did I do? I just made a hat. What did I do? I picked the wrong pattern, right? So I'm going to walk around and go, hey, look at my nice apron. They're going to go, well, I think that's a hat. Looks like a hat to me. Where'd you get your pattern? And sometimes we plan on something and we don't get the pattern from the right place. We don't get the pattern from the right person. And it doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. Number one, look at Psalm chapter 12. We cannot, like Moses, be brought to heaven. But we can read a book that's from heaven. I'm going to read a verse before we get there. It's in Psalm 119. We'll get to Psalm 12 in just a second. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I can't go to heaven and get a pattern and come back down a mountain and make something like God wants me to make it, because I'm not going to be able to do that. Moses did that. Nobody else did that. But I have a book that's forever settled in heaven, and God has given me instructions, and I can pattern my life after it, and you can pattern your life after it. We have a book from heaven that has forever been settled in heaven. Look at Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. What? The words. From this generation, how long? Forever. I have in my hands the preserved word of God in the English language, the King James Bible. Now, I don't have to wonder, do I have what God says? I have to obey. Does God speak on the matter? If so, what does he say? I need to say, all right, this is what God wants me to use. I mean, look, of all that God knew, he put it just right here. I mean, really, it's really not that exhaustive. You can get a more detailed pattern for how to build a car, right? It's probably going to be longer. And then it'll be in a couple of different languages. I just take that back part, rip it off, and throw it away. Then when I try to return it, they're like, do you have everything that came with this? I'm like, well, I don't have the part in different languages. So we have here God's word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to follow his pattern, all scripture. So I need to look at this and say, okay, I'm building a whatever it is in my life. I have this decision to make. Does God speak on the matter? If so, what does he say? And then I need to follow that down like a bloodhound. Does God speak on the matter? What does he say? Follow the pattern. The book, the Bible, was given by inspiration. It has come from heaven. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look there. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And verse number 20. 2 Peter 1, verse 20, and also verse 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's word forever was settled in heaven. God gave it to holy men who wrote it down, and we have it in our language today. I believe that as sure as I believe I'm standing here tonight. I have the word of God in my language. It's complete. It needs no adding. It needs no subtracting. It shouldn't. The book of Deuteronomy says don't add to it. The book of Psalms, a book of Proverbs, don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. The book of Proverbs, and then way back in the book of Revelation, don't mess with God's word. It has come from heaven. It was written down by holy men of God. It has come to us for the purpose, doctrine, what the Bible teaches, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Sometimes we need to get corrected. We need to get a tune-up, right? And so that's what the Word of God is for. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Number two, do we believe that God has given us a pattern for everything He wants us to do? I do. I believe God's given us a pattern for everything God wants us to do. Everything that's right to do, everything that's wrong to avoid, God gave us a pattern. You know, God did not leave Adam and Eve without instructions. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a New Testament. They didn't have an Old Testament. But God gave them very clear instructions. The problem isn't that people don't have a Bible. The problem is that people don't want to obey God. They don't want God telling them what to do. And so God told Adam and Eve, this is what you need to do. Don't eat of that one tree. You can eat of all the other trees. Don't eat of that one tree. He did not leave them without instruction. He gave them clear commands. What happened? Satan immediately contradicted what God said. Satan immediately questioned what God said, and Satan immediately gave an alternative to what God said. You know, the Bible says of Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices. He still questions what God says. He still rejects what God says. He still gives an alternative to what God says. Now, what was the result? The result was sin. What is the result today? The result is death. The result is hell. And all the destruction for 6,000 years of human history. We have no say over the consequences of not obeying God's instructions. You know, if you'd have told Eve, if she could have seen all of the misery, all of the death, all of the damage, the eternal consequences of her one disobedience, I don't know. I've never met Eve. You've never met Eve. But any person in their right mind would have said, there's no way I'll do that. There's no way I'll disobey God. Do you know what that would do for generations and for millennia and for all eternity? She changed the course. Well, I mean, God had it already planned out, but she changed the course of human history, if you want to put it that way. She changed the destination of her posterity. She changed everything by that one decision. No, I'm not going to follow what God said. I'm not going to obey what God said. I'm not going to obey the pattern. Number three. For says number one, we cannot, like Moses, be brought to heaven, but we have a book that tells us what God wants us to do. It came from heaven. Do we believe God has a pattern for everything that He wants us to do? I believe that. You believe that. Number three, the problem that we're having today is not an original problem. Look at Judges chapter 21. The problem that we're having today, that by and large, people don't want to follow God's pattern, is not a new problem. It's as old as human nature. Judges chapter 21. Look at the very last verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, everybody has a different opinion about that, right? Everybody has a different opinion about what's right and wrong. Well, I don't think it's wrong to steal if you're hungry, right? People have opinions like that. Well, I don't think it's wrong, you know, to do this if this is the situation. Everybody has a different opinion. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. One person thought this was wrong. The other person thought it was right. One person thought, well, under any given, you know, kind of like secular humanism. Kind of like situation ethics that they teach in school, right? They just keep teaching this. You know, well, you know, in any given situation, it's okay to do wrong. No, it's never okay to do wrong. In any given situation, you don't have to do what's right. There's just whatever you feel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Isn't it interesting that the title on the top of your Bible there is Judges? God sent them judges. They were judged. The book of Judges is a book of incomplete victory. They were always up and down. They'd live for themselves. They'd walk away from God, and God would send them the Philistines, right? And then he'd have to deliver them. Then he would send them, you know, this enemy, and he'd have to deliver them again. He'd send them another enemy. He'd have to deliver them again. Sometimes they'd go into captivity, right? Sometimes they would die. And so judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know, we have no right to do that. As a Christian, we need to obey God and do what's right in God's eyes. I was reading a brief news article this afternoon, and it was about post-Christian America. And it talked about different countries, Great Britain in especial. It talked about what's happening in Britain with the rejection of Christianity. By Christianity, that's a large net, okay? But they look at, you know, the Anglican Church, they look at the Catholic Church, right? They look at evangelicals, right? They would just kind of lump everybody all together. And then they see that, you know, these buildings that are just beautiful edifices are being turned into mosques, or houses or apartment buildings are being destroyed. And the whole culture has shifted. And the same thing's happening here in America. Same thing's happened in France, Belgium. I mean, you just go around the European countries. And you see that people have a lack of interest in Christianity in general. Okay, so that's, again, that's a broad net. And so the writer of the article was writing about, and there was a Gallup poll, how Christianity is diminishing in America in the last 24 years since the year 2000. The percent was just staggering, the drop of people who used to call themselves Christians and now are called religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S, nuns. They don't have a religion. They don't want to have, now again, religion, we understand, okay, but you get what I'm driving at, okay? They don't want to go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't necessarily believe in God. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. And there, a lot of them are the children of people who just kind of took a back seat and didn't get engaged with their young people and teach them, their children, the same things that they were taught from the Bible. And now these children are raising children. Well, you know, do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it, right? If it, whatever you want, it's just totally up to you. And the article mentioned that in a post-Christian America, and the statistics were staggering, that it will also impact our culture and impact our legal system. It quoted atheists who came out now after the fact in Great Britain, one in particular, and he said, you know, what Christianity is being replaced by is way worse, and it's affecting our culture, our legal system, it's affecting our way of life, it's affecting our safety, it's affecting everything. Because when people are Christian, they have a pattern. When people are living for God, they have it. This is what God says: thou shalt and thou shalt not. Now, here's an interesting thought along those lines. The article pointed out that there are two basic tenets of Christianity. Now, I couldn't really argue with the points because they're very valid points. Number one, God is love. And number two, God judges sin. Now, you can get the gospel out of that piece, right? God judges sin. God had to judge sin by sending Jesus Christ. And sin was judged at Calvary. And God judges sin in the life of a lost person. And God judges sin in the life of a saved person. And they said in the article, what's happened today is we've taken out that second piece that God judges sin, and we've only focused on God is love. Oh, God is love. And everything's okay because God loves everybody. And they took away the piece of God judges sin. And God is love. But you can't have one without the other. God judges sin. God said this is right. God says this is wrong. I will judge sin. You can do whatever you want. You have a choice. You have a free will. But if you take away the God judges sin, that one can't stand by itself. We have basically removed sin from our culture. We have removed that God judges sin, And we removed God being the only solution to sin. God is the only solution to sin. When we leave God's pattern, let me give you several things that happen. When we leave God's pattern, we are declaring that we are the originator. See that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mountain. Moses didn't come down from Mount Sinai and say, hey, I just had this great idea. We're going to build this tabernacle, a sanctuary, and it's going to be this big, and I just had this idea. It should be this long, and we're going to put all this furniture in it. And they probably would have said, like, what are you talking about, right? We haven't seen that before. Moses said, listen, I've been with God, and God showed me a pattern in heaven, and this is what we need to build right here. We're going to spend some time here in the wilderness, and we're going to meet with God, and God's presence is going to be with us. When we leave God's pattern, when we leave God's pattern of the Word of God, does God speak on the matter? If so, what does He say? We are declaring that we are the originator. We are now a God. That's idolatry. Well, I don't need to know what God says. I don't care what God says. I am going to make my own original. Number two, when we leave God's pattern, we must remember that we are not created to bring ourselves pleasure. We are created for God's pleasure. Thou hast created all things, and all things were made for God's pleasure. We are to bring pleasure to God. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I should bring God pleasure. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I think ought to be geared to that one purpose. Am I glorifying God with my life? Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. If you can't do it to the glory of God, you shouldn't do it. Evangelist said one time, he was here preaching, he said, you know, if you do things to the glory of God, there are some things that the Bible doesn't speak about, right? Thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. I always have a fun time when, you know, I meet somebody and they say, I'm going to heaven. Why are you going? I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? Can you name them for me? I mean, what are they? Oh, okay. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, that's one. I'll just stand there. I just got a smile on my face, right? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Oh, bear false witness. Yep, that's two. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that's three. Thou shalt not steal. All right, okay, four. And then they kind of get stuck, right? So I'll help them out a little bit. Thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. They go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's not one of them, okay? And then I'll ask them, I'll let them sweat for a little while. What do you think? What's something else? I don't know. It's stuck on number four, right? I don't know. And I say, listen, if we don't know what they are, how in the world are we keeping them to get to heaven, right? Right? And the Bible doesn't talk about thou shalt not smoke cigarettes, but if you can, so the evangelist said, can you do it to the glory of God? Dear God, I want to thank you for giving me lung cancer. I want to thank you for my body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, and I'm about to breathe this smoke and nicotine into my lungs. And, kill all those cells in there, right? To the glory of God. Right? Look, that goes for a lot of things. It goes for overeating, too. Oh. I just lost everybody else. Dear God, bless these four cheeseburgers. Okay? Gluttony is a sin. Listen, there's nothing worse than a fat preacher. Okay? So far, not there yet, but I got a lot of friends. They're sponsored by the Dunlop tire company. Their tummy done lopped over their belt, all right? So we have to be careful. I know, it's a thyroid problem. I have one too. Now, we are created not to bring ourselves pleasure. We are created to bring God pleasure. When we leave God's pattern, we're declaring that we're the originator. We're now God. It's idolatry. We are bringing ourselves pleasure, not bringing God pleasure. Number three, when we leave God's pattern, because either we are ignorant. Well, I don't know what God says about that. You know, if we wanted to know, we could find out. Someone said, you could read the whole Bible through from cover to cover in 40 hours. It's really not that big of a book. If we wanted to find out what was in there, we could find out. If there was some life-saving, you know, medical breakthrough and you had a problem and somebody said, look, it's in this book right here, just got to find it, I'd be staying up night and day trying to figure out how I can stay alive. And yet sometimes we're willfully ignorant. Oh, I don't want to know what God says because then I might have to do it. It's still here. We still need to obey it, whether we know it or not. So we need to find out what it is. We leave God's pattern because either we are ignorant, maybe willfully. I just don't want to know, right? Some people just don't want to know. I don't want to know. I just close the door. And I just don't want to. You hear water leaking, right? You're like, oh, I don't want to open the bathroom door because I don't want to know. Just keep it shut. Well, it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse, right? You got to go find out. You got to shut the water off, okay? Number two, we leave God's pattern because we are rebellious. How many people we read about in the Bible, they left God's pattern and they're rebellious? Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's rebellion. We leave God's pattern because number three, we want to fit in with the world. Well, I don't care what God says because everybody has this pattern and I'm going to follow this pattern. We want to fit in with the world. We would rather conform to the world than be transformed to the image of Christ. You know, tonight, would you agree with me? The world in general does not want to follow God's pattern. The world in general does not want to follow God's pattern. My own heart is desperately wicked. Left to my own devices, I don't want to follow God's pattern because I am a sinful human being. My heart is against God. So with that being said, let's look for God's pattern. The problem we're having today is not an original one. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. So what do we have to do? Let's look for God's patterns. God has a pattern for everything. God has a pattern for marriage. God has a pattern for marriage. God has a pattern, one man, one woman, for life. That's God's pattern. That's the original. God has a pattern for happiness in marriage and joy in marriage. Submitting to one another. Loving as Christ loved. That's God's pattern for marriage. God has a pattern for modesty. How we dress. How we act. Modesty. You know, I'm always amazed. When the lesbians, the sodomites, and the transvestites want to mock God, they seem to know exactly what to do. The women cut their hair short like a man. I can spot them usually a mile away. They know what God's pattern is. 1 Corinthians 11:14. The men let theirs grow to look like a woman, and they put on a dress usually. Or those jello pants. God deliver us. That is not modest at all. Now let's ask ourselves, in everything we do, does God speak on the matter? If so, what does he say?